I love that thing about music where it can take you back in time. We started singing that song about Jesus, and I literally was like transported back to about 6 or 7, and I was driving down this old road. I think we were headed to Diamond Lake, and I was with my grandparents way back before there were seatbelt laws. And they used to put a cooler in between the front of their two seats, and my brother and I would sit on the cooler so we could see. They had a van, an old box van. And I remember it had just rained, and my grandpa loved to sing. And I remember it just rained, and he was blowing or rolling down the windows, or it was muggy. I remember that. And maybe he had the AC on or the fan, whatever it was at that time. And I remember that you could smell the rain. And he goes, "Oh, man, you know what this makes me think about?" I said, "What, Grandpa?" And he started singing, "Jesus, Jesus." So we all four burst into song, and we were going down. But it made such a memory, the freshness of that smell, that I could literally, when we were singing, I could smell it. It was like, you know, it's amazing how God can do that. And it can remind us of the blessings that we've had in our past. You know, sometimes we get so caught up on where we are today and where we're going. We forget to stop and thank him for where we've been. And my brother and I were very blessed to have grandparents that love the Lord and instilled that into us. And yeah, just brought back such amazing memories. And you know what it also is? It's inspiring to us to share those with our kids and our grandkids, to make those memories. When we were, Lane and I, we had a Jehovah Witness that came to our door this weekend, and we ended up talking to him for like 20, 25 minutes, and he was in awe that Lane loved the Lord. And he's like, "You just don't see young guys like you that are so excited about Jesus and about what God is doing." And so we were sharing, and I was telling him, he goes, "You know, I have a 6-year-old and a 9-year-old, and sometimes I feel like I don't know how to communicate with them." And Lane's like, "Just keep it simple." And I said, "Keep it simple and keep it fun. Keep the word of God fun." I said, "Wherever you go, whatever you're doing," he was like, "That's like that verse." I mean, it was really cool just, you know, taking a moment to share and encourage a parent who was struggling to wonder if their child was understanding or getting what they were telling them about the Lord. So we take those moments and we share them with our kids and grandkids, because they're memories that last. That's the important thing. Memories that last. Amen? All right. That was for free. Now we're going on to our tithes and offerings. Okay. So we are still on, let's read it together, "With God, all things are possible." With God, all things are possible. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's open up to 2 Kings. And Kings comes first. It goes Kings, or Samuel, Kings, then Chronicles. They're backwards in the order. I'm going to get to heaven. I'm going to talk to the Lord. I'm going to tell him, "Listen, you should have done it alphabetically, right? It'd been so much easier to find them." 2 Kings 6. All right. So we're going to start in verse 1. "And the sons of the prophets said to Elisha," because Elisha was the prophet of the day, okay? That was the man of the God of the day. "See now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan and let every man take a beam from there, and let us make there a place where we may dwell." So he answered, "Go." Okay, so the word of the Lord was, "Go, let's go." Did I get the right one? Yeah. Then one said, "Please," "please consent to go with your servants." And he said, "I will go." So these are important things. They checked with the man of God first. We don't have to check with the man of God anymore, because we can talk to God, right? So you need to go to the source and make sure that he's okay with the plans and purposes that you have, right? And then the second part says, and they asked him to go with him, to go with them. They didn't want to leave the man of God behind. How many people know you don't want to leave the Lord behind when you go to do something? You want to make sure that he's with you. If you're doing his plans, you take him with you. Okay, we don't need any lone rangers in the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. So he said, "I will go." So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. So they're trying to build a bigger place for them all to live, because there's too many. "But as one was cutting down a tree, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried out and said, 'Alas, master, for it was borrowed.' So the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed in the place. So he cut off a stick and he threw it there and he made the iron to float. Gotta read that again. He said, where did it fall? And he showed in the place. So he cut off a stick and he threw it in there. He threw it in the water and he made the iron float. Therefore, he said, pick it up for yourself. So he reached out his hand and he took it. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. There was a man in 1928. He was working on a particular bacteria, and he was studying it and researching it. And they said it was accidental what he found. I don't believe in accidents. I believe it was God ordained, because this discovery would unleash the answer to many bacterial and viral issues moving forward. But this man's name was Alexander Fleming. And he was studying this bacteria when all of a sudden he noticed that this bacteria was producing something that was fighting against the bacteria. And he said, what could this be? And lo and behold, it became what we know now as penicillin from bacteria. How many people go in to study bacteria to come out with an answer that's a cure for bacteria? That doesn't make any sense, right? You're studying bacteria, but then you find a cure for it. And he didn't even know what it was at the time, but he knew there was something about it that was fighting against the bacteria and destroying those cells. It was overpowering it. Amen? They said that his discovery released the cures for bacterial and other diseases that could be treated so people didn't have to suffer moving forward. Somebody say amen. I was listening to Jesse Duplantis this morning, and he was sharing a story about how that he had driven by this piece of property. He said it was junk, absolute junk. And he said the Lord told him, buy that piece of property. And he said, I didn't listen to the Lord. He said, it was $1,000. And he said, but it looked like a piece of junk, and it wasn't worth anything. The area wasn't worth anything. But a buddy of his bought it. A buddy of his bought it. Now listen to this. I think it was 3 years later. That man sold that property for $3 million. $3 million. That doesn't make any sense to me. Does that make any sense to you? Does it make any sense to you that out of bacteria you can find a cure for bacteria and other things? That doesn't make any sense. Does it make any sense to you to throw a stick into water where there is iron at and have the expectation that that is going to come to the surface? Somebody do this. No, none of those things make any sense, right? In the natural, but we have to back up. These men were on an assignment from the Lord. They asked the presence of God to go with them. And so the presence of the Lord was there. Can you imagine if they had not had asked, that axe head would have been lost and it was borrowed. That's why it's always better to be the lender and not the borrower. Amen? But in this story, we see something so powerful about things being possible with God that are not possible with men. He has the answer. And I'm here to tell you, in the natural, it will most of the time make not a lick of sense to you. You'll look at something, you'll be praying about something, you're doing what he's called you to do, and he'll say, do this. Brother Jesse said, I told him, Lord, it's a piece of junk. What are you talking about? And he said, but later on I realized the Lord was talking, and I wasn't listening. And he said, it didn't happen again. Because when we listen, the Lord will direct us to do things, and you may not understand at the moment why you're doing it. But when you invite his presence to come along with you in your life every single day, he will lead you, he will guide you, he will direct you, and you will go, oh, this is why. This is why. And all of a sudden, that axe head floats to the surface. The answer you were looking for, the answer you needed, will float to the surface, and you'll go, aha, there it is. That's my answer. Amen? Sometimes we look at things, especially when our tithes and offerings, and we give, and we give, and we give, and we give, and we give. And a lot of times you may say, well, I don't see any seed come back, like big seed. But you aren't giving just to be getting, first of all. You're giving because that's what you've been asked to do by the Lord, right? That's part of the covenant that you have. But not only that, your giving will produce a harvest. It will. And there'll be moments in your life where all of a sudden an axe head will rise and you'll go, what in the world? Where did that come from? That came from your faithfulness of giving, of doing what the Lord asks you to do and taking him with you and listening to him when he tells you. What if Elisha, can you imagine what that must look like to all the guys, all the other prophets around him when Elijah went and got a stick? They're probably all like, Elijah, listen, there's an axe down there. That's an axe head. It's heavy. What do you expect to do with a stick? And then he doesn't even poke. He doesn't even dig around for it. He throws the stick in the water. I'm sure they're all like, oh, wow, okay. He's throwing sticks in the water. But can you also imagine the look on their faces when that axe head rose and was floating on the surface? Hallelujah. But I love what the man of God says, because this is the point that we all need to grab hold of. The man of God didn't reach down and pick up that axe head. Are you listening? Because we have a part to play in our faith, in our giving and our receiving. And when it floated to the surface, Elisha turned to the man and said, get it yourself. Pick it up. Why? Why is that important? Because there's an action of faith. There's an axe head floating in the water. I don't know if I would have been like, what's going on here? You know, just the maybe a little bit of timidity. But when he grabbed hold of that thing and all of a sudden the burden was gone of that borrowed thing being lost, when the weight of what he was dealing with was lifted because it was in his hands, there was shouting that happened. There was shouting that happened. Amen? God has his part, but we have ours. It's also our job, when that thing rises to the surface, that we reach out and take it. We take it. Sometimes, like Brother Jesse said, it may look like junk to you. But if you will do what God has told you to do and pick that thing up, the miracle harvest will be on its way. A miracle harvest. A miracle harvest will be on its way. Why? Because nothing is impossible with God. So we don't go by what it looks like. We go by what we hear, and we move on that, and we act on that, and we watch the miracles take place. Amen? Our God is so faithful. I'm telling you these stories because they are impossible stories. They shouldn't have happened in the natural. Amen? But when you're walking with God and you're keeping his presence with you wherever you go, then you can expect miracles to happen. He can unfold to you revelations, like seeing something in a dish, like an idea of, that's fighting against the other things. I'm going to look into that. Right? Fleming had a job to do. He couldn't just look in there and say, oh, that's penicillin. No, he had to study it out, right? He had to grab hold of that floating axe head. Amen? Brother Jesse's friend had to pay. He had to do something to get that property. Amen? And then he had to receive the check or the transfer or whatever it was to receive that $3 million. I don't know about you, but God's investments are always good. They're real good. Amen? I told you the story before, but my parents were tithers from the moment they got married. It's one of the first things that they decided to do as a married couple was to be faithful in their tithing. They had great teachers and men and women of God that instructed them, and they tithed and they gave 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 and they gave. And when my sister was born, you know that she had medical issues, and she was in the hospital for over a month. And when the bill came, it was $250,000. $250,000 is what their part was. $250,000. My mom had a hard time breathing at first. She just said, "Lord, you're going to be faithful." They called to find out if they could make payments because they didn't have $250 in their bank. Called to make payments, and a lady on the other end of the line said, "Just a second, there's something going on with this account." As the telephone conversation went on, the lady kept putting her on hold and going back, putting her on hold and coming back. And she finally got to the end and she said, "Ma'am, I don't know what to tell you." And then she started crying. The lady, the insurance lady on the other end of the phone, started crying. She goes, "I don't know what to tell you. I have never seen anything like this, but this entire bill has been paid. $250,000. Thank you, Jesus." You know why? Because they've been sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing and listening to the Lord and sowing and sowing. And when the time came, the Lord said, "Ah, harvest, wipe it out. Wipe it out." I mean, you got an insurance lady praising God and crying on the other end of the line with my mom. You know something powerful is happening, right? So that's the kind of God we serve, is he can take those things that look impossible, that look insurmountable, and he can say, "Do this or do that." Or just your faithfulness in being faithful to do what he tells you to do produces a miracle. I don't know about you. This is good stuff. If you have anything in your life that looks impossible, you get in your word and you find story after story after story. We're going to do a couple more. But you find story after story about things that looked impossible and how God turned them around and made them possible. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Grab your tithes and offering. Father, we just praise you and we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, first of all of the amazing things that you have done in so many people's lives, and I believe in every person in this room, Lord, at some point or another, you have supernaturally done things in their lives, touched their finances, touched their bodies, maybe provided a way for them to be able to share the gospel with someone. And it might have seemed impossible, but God, we thank you and we praise you that with you all things are possible. Even if it means going against the natural laws of this world, God, you are able to do that. And Father, I pray that we would be faithful, that when you tell us, throw a stick in the water, that we'd be faithful, Father, to follow through and act on that. To know, Father, that there is a blessing that needs to be uncovered. And as we throw our stick of faith, out from the waters will arise a miracle. Father, I thank you for showing us things in our own lives, just like you did for Mr. Fleming. Things that we're even working on right now, maybe in our personal lives. Maybe it's an invention that we never even dreamed of, but something we've always done. And in that midst of that, you'll show us something, God, an idea, a concept that will be able to break through something in the natural realm. I thank you, Father, for the wisdom when you speak and you say, "Buy this piece of property, buy this car, do this, do that with your money," that we would be faithful to act on that, knowing, Father, you have our best in mind and you have a harvest for us. And Lord, we just call in all the harvest, all the seeds that we have sown, all the things that we have done in the past, Father. I speak to the north, south, east, and the west, and I say, angels, go forth and bring in the things that looked impossible. Bring them in Jesus' name. For such a time as this, that the body of Christ will be able to rise up and take its rightful place, to be a light, to be a source and a help for those around us, Father, in the world, that we'll be that light that will be able to draw all men unto you. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, Father. I call our church and our people debt-free, houses paid, bills paid, financial freedom. If you're thinking right now that would be too big, don't think that. Don't look at the bigness of the problem. Think about the greatness of your God, that there is nothing that is impossible with him. And Father, I thank you that as those finances are coming in, we will be faithful to do what you've asked us to do, to give our 10% and offerings beside. That, Father, that we would not allow money to rule us, but we would take charge of our money. Father, we will not fall into the trap of a love of money because we love giving. And I thank you, Father, we'll be vessels for you to flow through in these last days, God, in this last end times harvest. And we praise you in advance, Father, for the financial freedom every person in this room is going to experience exceedingly and abundantly above so that we can give to every good work. In Jesus' name. And somebody said, amen and amen. Whew. Thank you, Jesus.
So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Say amen. Amen and amen. Well, this resurrection season, resurrection day, resurrection Sunday, you know, I believe... You know, the people in this room, you know the story. Somebody say, I know the story, right? There was sin, and there was a Savior, there was a sacrifice, there was salvation, right? And praise the Lord, someone stood in my place and took my sin and died on a cross for me and raised again 3 days later, and that's where our victory is. Amen? And I love, you know, Pastor Rick Renner's doing, he's got a new book out called Easter, The Rest of the Story. And if you look on the Victory Network, the Victory Channel, and search for Rick Renner's broadcast, he's teaching on it for like all month, I think. And it's just amazing the insight and the light and the depth that he's bringing to it. And our series is going to be, this will probably just be a four-part, you know, we'll follow the Holy Ghost. How many know it's important to follow the Holy Ghost, right? And entitled it, Go and Tell. When I was in kindergarten, I loved show and tell. It must have been something about what I'm called to do, because I liked to speak in front of people and try to tell them stories about something that happened in my life that week or whatever, you know? And the gospel needs to be shared with people, right? Now, we know that there's been times, and there will be times yet to come, where an angel might show up and point somebody to Jesus, right? But he's invested this story, testimony, into each one of us to be shared with other people, right? To be broadcasted. And our foundation text is Mark 16, verse 15. And this is, you know, after the resurrection, and Jesus is meeting with his core people, right? And he says to them, which means he's saying to all of us, right? There's reasons why things were written down and published. Amen. He said to them, go, somebody say, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the word preach means to tell. One of the words is to tell. And the word gospel means things like the good message, good news. How many know the world could use some good news nowadays? I love Keith Moore. He says, you know, some people ask him why he wears a suit on Sunday. And he goes, well, there's somebody on the TV wearing a suit telling you the bad news. So I figure I'll wear a suit and tell you the good news. It means evangelize, declare, bring glad tidings. Glad tidings. Declare it. Evangelize. I remember a number of years ago, I was in a McDonald's, and there's a certain part of Portland where there's a lot of Jewish population. There's like a synagogue, and I was in a McDonald's, and I saw these these two men wearing the kippah and the prayer shawl, and they were sitting in a booth together. And I don't eat at McDonald's normally. I just was getting like a cup of coffee or something. Occasionally I might get something, but, you know, trying to, you know, not do that much. But I saw these men over there. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna bless those guys. Because they're, you know, there's something special about being a blessing to Jews, right? I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, right? So I got my coffee, and I walked over there, and they're talking to each other. And I said, Shabbat Shalom! And they looked at me like, what? And the one guy wearing the kippah and the prayer shawl says, that means nothing to me. And I realized they were Muslims. True story. Yeah. And I was like, the guy sitting with him was like, oh, we're Muslims. And I was like, oh, I said, I did not mean anything by that. You know, nothing personal. I said, I happen to be a born again Christian, and we just bless everybody, right? So don't take it personal. And then he's like, oh, it's okay. He's like, we don't proselytize. But we are brothers. We're brothers with them, and they're with us. And I walked out to my truck, and I'm like, Lord, I apologize. I didn't mean to embarrass you. I just wanted to bless a Jew. And he spoke in my heart, and he goes, you did bless a Jew. You blessed me when you did that. Hallelujah. So even sometimes in our misses, where we feel like we missed it, the Holy Ghost will use it. Amen? Glory to God forevermore. So evangelize, and they were saying, oh, we don't proselytize. Well, the radical Muslims are proselytizing and recruiting young people, you know, and there's Muslims that are not, you know, out to kill people, and there's Muslims that are, right? But the message here entitled Go and Tell is God needs people that are willing to go and tell. And tell about Jesus, tell about salvation, tell about forgiveness and the mercies of God, right? Yesterday's Torah portion that I was studying, there was a portion of it that talks about the name of God is Hashem and Elohim. Same God. Somebody say, same God. Hashem means mercy. Elohim means judgment. Somebody say, same God. And I believe what we're seeing in our world right now, in our own country, is Him simultaneously being God of mercy and the judge. Mercy toward His people. Judgment on sin, judgment on corruption. So it's kind of like, whose side are you on? Whose side do you want to be on, right? Hallelujah. And there's a lot of people that have come over to God's side, miraculously. It's truly remarkable to see the hand of God at work supernaturally in our world. When we can never forget the things that God has done. When you think about what almost happened to Donald Trump on July 13th, was it? When he should have been assassinated, right? But he wasn't. He was preserved. And our salvation is not in Donald Trump. Our faith is not in Donald Trump. But we know the same God who used people in the past uses people today. There's another leader that, you know, you would recognize his name if I said it from, you know, the few years gone by. And he got a message from Satanists this past week, basically saying, well done. And on, you know, on social media, the Church of Satan was complimenting this man and saying, Satan has a special thing for you. And he took it as a compliment. I mean, there's no more gray areas, right? You're either with the light or with the dark, going up or going down, right? And so what do? We go and tell. We go and we tell. And just the way our giving is set up here. Lord gave us wisdom in the beginning to take a tenth of the tenth that comes in, and it goes out to other ministries that are literally going around the world. And the missions giving and all of that, the Nativia that sent these, that's because you gave them an offering, just in and we do it every year, and throughout, you know, there's multiple times. But they said, thank you for that. And you're ministering literally to, I know that Nativia actually ministers to soldiers in Israel. Right? The IDF. And they are preaching the gospel, Jews preaching, going and telling to the Jews. And one of the, and it's so cool the way the Lord teaches you as you're teaching something and studying something. Like even when we just finished God's Big Ten, the Ten Commandments. And there were things that I had never even thought of before that he taught me and showed me as I was studying and learning it and hearing from other people. It's all the Spirit of God. But one of the things that he taught me in this message, go and tell, somebody say go and tell, was that when Jesus rose again, he did not tell the first person he saw to go tell the world. Remember the story? When Mary Magdalene, he said, go and tell my disciples and Peter. By the way, there's another one where he would say, because he knew Peter just felt like the south end of a northbound mule for what he did to Jesus. Jesus' first people he wanted to know that he had risen were his inner circle people. Now that really, again, just preparing for this, just kind of like, wow. How many know if the church wakes up, if Christians come back, have an awakening, an awareness that this thing is real, right? That Jesus is real, what happened is a true story, and then they awake to that again. Then there will become this thing called, then they start going out and broadcasting it to the world, bringing a revival, which brings a reformation. And we're seeing that. We're seeing that in the world. Glory to God. But I don't know about you, but we're a part of it. Amen. But I want to look at several different passages in the Bible, so we're going to move pretty quick. But Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says this, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save. Somebody say, seek and save that which was lost. And Acts chapter 10, and Shelly, I might have, if you're comfortable with it, I might have you get a mic and share what happened to you at the store the other day with that lady, because that's exactly what we're talking about here. In a moment. Yeah, Acts chapter 10, because, you know, there's different ways to do this and different styles of doing this and different purposes of doing this, but one thing I've noted as we're studying these things is that it's all the Holy Spirit. Somebody say it's a work of the Holy Spirit. Building a church, seeing a church live and grow and flourish is a work of the Holy Ghost and us co-laboring with him, right? It takes both, right? But listen, I want us to I really want to believe God that he would just light our fire, kindle our fire, you know, feed the fire that's in us during this month for reaching out and winning people, right? And one of the things that we need to remember is that everybody out there has a God-shaped hole. And they might be filling it with perversion or with drugs or with false religion or with good works, karma, whatever they're doing. But these examples we're going to share, we're going to see different people in different places in their life. But they were all seeking. And that's why it says Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. Hallelujah. But Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 9, this is about Cornelius the centurion. We're just going to read we're not going to read the whole chapter. You can study that out on your own, right? But I want to get you the nuggets of this. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man one who feared God with all his household and gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. So here's a man who is doing a lot of good works, has a fear of God, a reverence for God, but just doesn't really know God. I mean, there's a lot of people like that in the world that have a respect to God, that are very generous and giving. They might even pray and talk with him. They just don't know him. Somebody say, that's where I enter into the picture, right? About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. Now, we're getting into supernatural stuff. We have to remember the supernatural element in everything that we do for the Lord, right? Saying to him, Cornelius, when he had observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? He said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you. Somebody say, he will tell you. Notice the angel didn't tell him, right? He will tell you, right? What you must do. Now, he could have thought, what do you mean what I must do? I'm doing all these things. Well, he knew there's a hole. Something's missing, right? When the angel spoke to him, he had departed. Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. And you can read the rest of that story on your own. What I want you to see is the condition of the heart of the man. Hungry, searching, seeking, something's missing. Right? Acts chapter 16, flip over there. This one is about a slave girl, a girl who's being trafficked. How evil is that? That grown-ups would take a child and subject them to such abuse for their own profit. What's more evil than that? I believe if anything accelerates the return of Jesus, it's the treatment of children. There's scriptures about millstones and the ocean and ropes tied around people's necks that knowingly are abusing children and teaching them what's wrong is right and right is wrong. And so how do we fit in? Somebody say, go and tell. I love the city of Portland over here. Right now, somebody spent some money on a billboard right in a part of town where prostitutes frequent. And it says, call this number if you notice anyone trafficking. And it said, basically, speak up. I love it. I love it. Turning the light on in a dark place. Somebody say, speak up. So listen to this, right? Now it happened as, this is verse 16 in Acts. Now it happened as we went to prayer. How many know Christians ought to be praying? Prayer is a huge part of everything we do in the church, right? That a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us. Somebody say, she cried out. There are children crying out all over the world. And they may not even know who they're crying out to. God does speak to me in dreams. It seems like more frequently lately. And I had a dream the other night that I was in some funky part of some Latin American country in a dingy hotel room, and this guy comes in with a kid wrapped a rope around a kid's neck and threw him in the room with me and left. And the kid had this like mummy looking thing wrapped around, and he was terrified of me. And I knew what that meant. And I just grabbed him and looked in his eyes. And I just led him in the sinner's prayer. I said, Jesus, and he was repeating it in trembling words, right? Jesus, come into my life, right? Hallelujah. And I received the Holy Ghost. And I said, and God's mighty angels are protecting you. God's mighty angels. And I woke up. Right? They're crying out for help. Will there be any grown-ups? Somebody say grown-ups. Who will put aside their love of money and power to do what's right for a child. Come on, right? Somebody say, tell. Go and tell, man. This girl is crying out. Right? These men are the servants of the Most High God. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed. And that word annoyed, I studied that out and shared it in a message in recent history. But it says basically he was bothered of her great misfortune and how she was being treated. He wasn't annoyed at her. He was greatly disturbed about how she was being treated. Right? So he turned and said, somebody say he spoke, right? To the spirit, right? I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authority. Now, a few years ago, we would have thought how bizarre that someone would put the misuse of a child and treat that person that spoke up for the child like they're the criminal. Somebody say, welcome to 2025. It's happening. By people that are wearing nice suits and driving nice cars and making money and profiting on the misfortune and abuse of children. That's the most evil thing I can think of. Hallelujah. They brought them to the magistrates and said, these men being Jews exceedingly trouble our city. Now they're lying, right? They teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. What, like protecting a child? Since when is protecting a child a custom? Right? Since when is protecting a child not lawful? Lawlessness, right? Somebody say, speak up. Speak the truth, right? Then the multitude rose up together against them, and magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely, having received such a charge, to put them into inner prison and fasten their feet in the stocks. We're going to continue right on now from the slave girl to the keeper of the prison. How many know if the devil starts a fight, he's going to get a riot. And there's going to be a lot of people that come out of the darkness into the light because of his stupidity, right? But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Somebody say they were speaking out. They were praising, right? Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains. Somebody say they were listening. They were listening. And everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice. Somebody say, he said something. He called out with a loud voice, do yourself no harm. We are all here. When he called for a light, he ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Somebody say, he called for the light. He called for a light. Somebody say, they need the light. They're in the darkness, and they need the light that's shining out from on the inside of you, right? He brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Somebody say, "Why don't you just put it on a tee?" That man was primed and ready. Right there. So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." Somebody say, "You and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in the house. There's more. Somebody say, "There's more." Not just that person, but the people they know. That's why the devil works so hard to get people to shelter in place. Don't talk to anyone. Don't look at anyone. Don't breathe on it, because he wants to stop the gospel from being preached, right? He knows his time is short. Amen. Then he took them and came in the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Somebody say, "Glory to God." Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and rejoiced, having believed in God with all, somebody say, with all his household. Yes. Let's talk about the man from the Gadarenes, Mark chapter 4. See, we're getting in touch with people. I believe all of you are in touch with Jesus enough to focus on getting in touch with people. Now, we do need to be in touch with Jesus regularly. We need to dig the well. Dig the well till you strike water. Like out there right now, the water is pouring off the roof because it's overflowing, and we should all be living in overflow stage where it just can't help but come out of our mouth, right? Hallelujah. So they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes, and when he, Jesus, had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. I mean, we're dealing with a lot of people right now who have unclean spirits, right? But yet, they run to Jesus, even though they are torn. This man, as you know, had a legion, and yet he had enough sense to run to Jesus, right? Hallelujah. Immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. Like, talking about like an animal. Couldn't tame him. Right? And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying out. Somebody say, crying out. Crying out. God hears them. Even if no other human being hears them, God hears them. Crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from the far, he ran and worshiped him. This man, possessed with all these demonic spirits, came and worshiped Jesus. What did he want? He didn't want that. He wanted freedom from that torment, right? And when he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus? Hallelujah. Son of the Most High God, I implore you by God to not torment me." He said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, "My name is Legion, for we are many." How many know it doesn't matter how many? Don't get focused on how many. There's been doctrines almost built about we have to find out how many demons are in there. No, that's not the... This is just showing us that someone can be possessed or controlled by multiple forces. But the point is, one name, somebody say one name, has authority over all of them. Hallelujah. And they spoke, begged him earnestly that they would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding near the mountain. You know the rest of the story, right? The condition of the man, he was tormented and he was crying out. Who's going to go and tell him? Somebody say, "I will." I will go, and some of these people that we may encounter might be a little scary to meet at first. But the power of Jesus and the light of God on the inside of you, the devil has no answer for. And the devil just wants to convince you that everybody just hates God, wants nothing to do with God. Not true. Everybody has a God-shaped hole. They're just filling it with something else. And they're seeking. They're crying out. Hallelujah, right? Let's look at Mark chapter 5. You can go back and read these more for yourself. Same chapter. Verses 25 through 29. Now, a certain woman, this is a woman with an issue. How many know people, human beings, have issues? None of us in this room probably don't have something God is working with us on to this day, right? Amen? And she had lost hope. She had gone to doctors, spent all her money. But listen to this. A certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, a 12-year issue, right? She had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather she was growing worse. How many know there are a lot of people out there that it's getting worse for them, to the point where they're suicidal or losing their minds or, you know, transgendering themselves or whatever it is, and they need to hear the truth, right? So she was no better, rather good. So this is the key here, verse 27. When she heard, somebody say, she heard about Jesus. What's that mean? Somebody told her. We'll know who that person is when we get to heaven. But she heard about Jesus. Somebody told her about Jesus, right? So she came from behind him in the crowd, touched his garment, for she said, if I only may touch his clothes, I shall be well. And immediately, verse 29, her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. And you can read the rest of that story there. The woman with an issue, right? Somebody say, Jesus for every issue. There's no issue too big, no demonic force too big, no hopelessness too dark, that Jesus can't, he is the big fix. Somebody say, he is the big fix. And I'm going to go and tell. And every offering that you sow to other ministries that are preaching, you are literally going and telling. But he also wants us to be sensitive. I'll have Shelly share this in a minute, because she has so many great, and I know we all probably could, but this one that she shared is just a powerful testimony. It happened this week, just in terms of being the outreach, right? Always being ready. Hallelujah. Look at Acts chapter 8. It's another one here. This one's called The Eunuch in Politics. That sounds familiar nowadays, doesn't it? Right? Someone who had their male body parts removed. They might have been forced to, but it's the same general idea here, right? Here's someone who is in that state in their life where they are literally a eunuch, but yet they're seeking God, right? In Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 35, right? Now, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. Somebody say Philip, right? It's a man who loved Jesus, right? And he was sharing Jesus purposefully. An evangelist, right? And the angel said, arise, go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Somebody say Gaza. Gaza's in the Bible, right? It's still in the news today, isn't it? This is desert. So he arose and went. Now, you'll notice here again, this is a man of prayer, and he's co-laboring with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of her, he had charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem to worship. Come to Jerusalem to worship, right? But he didn't know who he was coming to worship, right? He was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. Somebody say, go near and overtake him. God might speak to you and say, go and talk to that person. Go and share my love with them. Go and find out what's going on in their life. You may not even know them. Right? So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how could I understand unless someone guides me? Someone say, guide them. Guide them to Jesus, right? Because he's saying, he's crying out, how can I understand unless somebody guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Right? He's talking about who? Jesus. Right? It's a prophecy about Jesus. The Jesus that we're celebrating this month. And what he accomplished, right? So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask of you, of whom does this prophet say this? Is it of himself or some other man? Somebody say, put it on a tee. Right? Somebody say, this is not complicated. Tell them about Jesus, right? So Philip opened his mouth. Somebody say, open your mouth, right? And beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Glory to God forevermore. And you can read the rest of that on your own. Now let's finally go to John chapter 3. Hallelujah. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, chapter 3. And we'll read the story about Nicodemus, the religious and political leader. How many know even religious and political leaders may not know the Lord? And they might legitimately be seeking him. Not just, you know, satisfied with their credentials and their income and their salaries and their securities, right? They might legitimately be knowing, man, I've got all these degrees and credentials, but I don't really know that I know God, right? Now listen to this, verses 1 through 8. It would help if I was in John. I know Luke has good things to say, but... There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler, say ruler, of the Jews. Isn't it great when rulers are still teachable? The greatest rulers and teachers and instructors and professors are the ones that are hungry to still keep learning. The worst ones are the ones who think they are the end of all knowledge. Right? Now this Nicodemus, I believe Pastor Rick says that Nicodemus is one of the guys with Joseph of Arimathea who came to take Jesus' body off the cross. Somebody say he came out of the closet. He's like, I don't care anymore. This was wrong. And honored Jesus. And, you know, but this is, listen to this. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, somebody say, Jesus said. Well, yeah, but Pastor Steve, that was Jesus. Jesus expects you to said too. He does. Well, that was Jesus. Yeah, but Jesus is on the inside of you, so you can said too. Amen. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, say born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not. This is why we need to spend time with Jesus. Spend time with Jesus. So then you'll have something to said. If I don't spend time with Jesus, I'll have nothing to said. And they'll still be spiritually dead and malfed. Somebody say, dig the well deep. Spend time with Jesus and be so in love with him that he just overflows out of you. Right? You know the way to salvation, church. It's called Jesus. He died. He rose again. We're all sinners. But the love of God drove him to the cross where he died for all of my sins. And 3 days later, he rose again and forgave us of all of our sins. You may not tell it exactly perfectly, but you know it. Somebody say, I know it. I know this. I can do this. This is not spiritual, you know, what's advanced math called? Calculus. This is like 1 + 1. Oh, I know this. I know this. Right? Amen. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Somebody say, born of the Spirit. Jesus was ready, even though this man came to him at night, so no one would know. Jesus still took his question. Don't you love leaders who are transparent leaders nowadays who actually take questions and they're honest with you about the whatever that answer is, right? And don't care if everybody knows, right? But we'll talk to you. Jesus is that kind of guy. And we are too. Somebody say, I am too. Hallelujah. And Shelly, if you can grab a microphone. I just wanted Shelly to come and share this story of something that happened with her this week. And just that God is stirring a sensitivity in us and putting a fire in us. But these last three verses just before she shares and we pray. Luke chapter 12. Somebody say, feed the fire. Feed the fire. Feed the fire. Jesus said, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled, right? Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist said, I indeed come to you to baptize you with water to repentance, but he who's coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and, somebody say, fire, right? And then Jeremiah 20, verse 9, then I said, I will not mention of him, nor speak of him anymore with his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire. Shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. Glory to God. That's what we're talking about. And Shelly experienced that this week. And I'd like for you to come and could you share that with us, hon, before we pray?
After I had gone and dropped off all of the tuna and the peanut butter, I was needing to go to the mall, but the mall doesn't open until 11, so I was forced to go to Goodwill. Anyway, I love finding treasures, and so I was in there a lot longer than I had anticipated. In fact, I remember thinking, wow, I've been here a long time. I need to get a move on, and I was looking, Lindsay loves puzzles, so I was looking in the puzzle section with all the kids, and I don't know if it's a mom thing or if it's just a me thing, but I tend to hear conversations all around me. When I'm in places, I'm not actively like eavesdropping, but you just hear things. But this was very distinct, and I was reaching for a puzzle, and I heard behind me two boys, and they were both talking to their mom, and they were saying, thank you so much, Mom, for doing this for us today. Very grateful, very grateful. And it was like I heard... It was very clear that there's a lot of people around us, but I clearly heard their voices, and I heard the Lord say, you need to bless them for being grateful. I said, okay. Lindsay, can you get the door? And so I went to the next aisle over because I couldn't see any boys behind me. Next aisle over, and I saw this mom and these two boys by a cart, but the boys were walking away. So I went up to the mom. Long story short, I said, were your boys the ones that were saying how grateful they were? And she said, yeah. She said, I just have great kids. And she said, we didn't get to do a lot this year for spring break, but they really wanted to come. They wanted to get stuff for golfing. And I said, well, I want to bless them. And I gave her $10. And I said, I heard them thanking you. And I said, when I hear kids who have such grateful hearts like that, I just feel like the Lord said, bless them. And she goes, oh my goodness, that is so cool. That is going to mean so much to them. She said, we've just really been through a really traumatic time lately. And I was like, traumatic. You don't hear people say traumatic, you know, very often. And I said, is it okay if I ask what I could be praying for? And she said, in January, her husband was super healthy, but he had gotten cold-like symptoms, had a seizure, and within 2 hours, he died. He had spinal meningitis, and they didn't know. She says, very traumatic. It all happened in front of the family. And she said, we were lost. She said, we just didn't know. And I said, well, can I get your name? And she told me her name. And I said, I'm going to be praying for you and your boys. And she's like, thank you so much. That means so much to me. And I started to walk around the aisle, and the Lord said, that's not it. And you know. And I was like, I do know. So I turned around, went back, and I said, Heather, you know what? I'm not just going to pray for you. And I said, can I get your number? And I said, every year our church sponsors a single parent or a family in need. And I said, the Lord told me that's you this year. And she started crying. And she said, oh my goodness, are you serious? And I said, yes. And I said, I shared a little bit about what we do. I shared that. I said, you know, you'll make your list with the boys. And I said, and then I'll get it from you about October. And I said, then we'll put everything in black garbage bags and we'll bring it to you because the gifts need to come from you. She started crying again. She goes, I've never heard of this before. And she's like, are you serious? And I said, yes. And she's like, this is one of the big things. She said, I know it's April. She said, but I have four boys. And she said, I always plan in advance for Christmas. I was like, ah, I know that story. And she said, this is like, I don't even have to think about it anymore. And I said, nope, you don't. The Lord's taking care of it, and you're gonna be fine. And I said, you know what? If there's anything else you need, I'll text my number. I'll text you so you'll have my number. You get a hold of me. And she just kept saying, I can't believe this. Are you serious? I can't believe this. This is so incredible for our family. So again, I thought I was late. I was 45 minutes at Goodwill by myself, you know, but really I didn't meet her until right before I left. So God has a timing and a plan when we're serving him.
Working with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Do you want to stay with me and we can pray together too?
Sure.
We're closing up here, but that's just a great illustration of being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and just having that, like I love you say you were looking for treasures. And that's what the cross should remind us, that T shape, is you are treasures to Jesus Christ, and they are too, the people that he still is calling in and reaching out to. So just being sensitive to reaching out and speaking up and offering it doesn't have to be, you know, this huge praying in tongues and, you know, casting the devil out of some. I mean, there might be those times, but this kind of thing is way more common. Connecting with somebody right in the middle of a tragic part of their life, when these little kids and her by themselves, and she's just trying to do something fun on spring break, and this. You know what that means to somebody? That's life-changing, right? And so I just want, if you would just lead us, honey, in a prayer. We just want to commit our lives to going and telling.
Yes.
And however the Holy Spirit, like I said, it's just sowing into ministries that are actually physically going to other countries and all that, but also just being sensitive while you're shopping and while you're, you know, doing whatever it is that we're doing. It's always, we're always on ready.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen. So, Father, we just thank you so much for this word today. Go and tell. And the go, Father, and the telling, that was to all of us, Father. We may not go across the world, but we could go across the street. We may not be called to a country that speaks another tongue, but Father, we can go across and show kindness to people maybe that don't even speak our language, because our gifts of kindness can speak volumes. And Father, I pray we would just like even the tithes today, Father, you would give us an ear to hear. That when we go about our day, we would take you with us.
Yes.
That we wouldn't just leave you at home and then come back to you. But Father, you would go with us. And at all times, we would have our spiritual ears on alert.
Glory.
That when that we have those moments, Father, where our Holy Spirit inside us says, listen, are you listening? Are you listening? That we're going to be faithful to listen to that. And not just faithful to listen, but to do what you ask us to do.
Yes.
And even if it feels like a stick that's not very valuable, that's not much, just being faithful to give our stick and to act in obedience,
yes. Thank you.
We can see miracles rise up for these people.
Hallelujah.
Father, I pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear, Father, eyes to see beyond the homelessness, to see beyond the purple hair, to see beyond,
glory,
Father, the things that might even make us want to push away from that person. I pray we would see through your eyes who they are, God, that we would hear with your ears,
glory,
their cries.
Yes, Jesus.
And Father, help us to remember, like Steve was saying, it doesn't have to be this huge philosophical thing. It's just...
Hallelujah.
Being your hands extended, whatever that person needs.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
I pray, Father, that you would help us not to be fearful of these people, but, Father, to have your heart and to walk in faith.
Thank you, Jesus.
And, Lord, we do. We call in the souls that are in this city and in this area.
Hallelujah.
And we say, in the name of Jesus, mm-hmm. Devil, take your hands off all those that are lost.
Yes.
Even the
Jesus.
Ones that don't even look lost, the ones that are dressed in suits or drive fancy cars.
Jesus.
Father, we just command that the hands of God would reach down and set them free. And Father, as we look at our hands, we are your hands extended. I pray this week, Father, that you would begin to open our eyes to the souls and the people that need to be broken through. And even, Father, if it's drive-by prayer. Even if it's just seeing their face and praying over them throughout the rest of the week,
yes.
Father, help us not to belittle our prayers. Help us not to belittle, Father, our acts of kindness. And Father, we just thank you that we will go and tell.
Yes, Lord.
And that there will be part of that end time harvest of souls coming to Jesus because somebody was willing to step out in faith.
Thank you, Lord.
We just praise you for this word today. Seal it in our hearts. And anoint Steve, Father, as he continues this series, Lord. I pray that you would give him the words to say and revelation, Father, to set us free as a church to be soul winners.
Glory to God.
And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for the word that's in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
And
amen. Amen.